Three, I call to order this meeting of the Orange County Water District Water Issues Committee. And would you please stand with me for our Pledge of Allegiance?
All of you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
And to the republic for which it stands.
Under God.
Liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, could you conduct a roll call?
Roll call. Director Whitaker?
Here.
Director Nguyen? Director Yeo?
Here.
Director Tran?
Here.
Director Rowe?
Here.
Director Bilodeau?
Present.
Director Sheldon? Director Meeks? Director Amezcua?
Present.
Director Green?
Here.
You do have a quorum of your committee.
Mr. General Manager, are there any items received too late to be agendized?
There are none.
Thank you. And with that, visitor participation, if there's anyone here today who'd like to address the committee, please indicate. Seeing none, are there any virtual requests?
I see no hands.
So we are at our consent calendar. We have items number 1 through 9. Would anyone care to pull any or discuss any consent items?
I was thinking about pulling number 6, but otherwise I'll just move the consent calendar.
So moved. Any second?
Mr. Chairman, number 2, I had a question.
Okay, great. So is your motion hold for the balance then, Director Rowe?
Sure.
Okay. I'll second.
All right. Roll call on that, please.
Roll call, Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Tran?
Yes.
Director Rowe?
Yes.
Director Bilodeau? That motion carries 5-0.
Thank you. So Director Bilodeau brought up item number 2. Please go ahead.
Yes. So this is a purchase order with DuPont Water Solutions for some reverse osmosis membranes, where that Dow Chemical, this is their division, they sold off to DuPont, correct? And
subset called FilmTech is the one that actually makes that got sold.
Okay. But they're DuPont now, right?
They're now DuPont, yes.
Yeah. And it's obviously quite painful for me to vote to spend money with DuPont, given that we're litigating with them over PFAS issues. Are these, I know we have an experience curve now with 3 or 4 different membrane manufacturers, right?
Yeah.
And are these particular membranes, are they the best that we found in terms of operational?
Yeah, they're by far the lowest energy cost and highest salt rejections, of 25% less energy requirement than the other major 3 manufacturers we've had. But now that we have the new water coming in as part of the final expansion, we're going to do another reevaluation, demo scale testing of all the manufacturers that have products out, and hopefully in a year's time have a new list of products and see how they rate against each other. So we're working with the R&D group on that. But even as the experience we have to date with the new water, which is higher in salt TDS, this one still operates by far the lowest pressure requirement and highest salt rejection product.
Okay. Thank you.
And not to make it worse, but the microfiltration membranes are also got bought by DuPont. The medical. Have it all around.
Great. Unless there's any other questions, I'll move approval of the item.
I'll second.
They are making it hard to avoid them, I guess. Motion, a second. Roll call, please.
Director Whitaker? Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Tran?
Yes.
Director Rowe?
Yes.
Director Bilodeau? Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you. We're at item number 10. For the water year 2022 through 23.
Yes. Board.
Okay, today I'll be giving the basin storage update for the water year 2022-2023, which is the water year beginning in July 1st of 2022 and through June 30th, 2023. We'll start with some highlights. It was a very wet year, about twice the 36-year average of rainfall at our field headquarters facility in Anaheim. 25, almost 26 inches of rain fell. That was the highest since 2004-05, so highest in 18 years. Because of that, we were able to recharge 41,400 acre feet more than budgeted from the Santa Ana River. And when I say budgeted, that's the for the water budget for all of these items. Basin pumping was 50,700 acre feet less than budgeted. That was due to lower demand because of the wet year. Also some PFAS treatment systems coming online throughout the year, and also some downtime at the plant with the final expansion. Incidental recharge was 31,300 acre feet, less than was originally budgeted. We'll talk about that a little bit more later, but incidental recharge is basically all the unmeasured recharge and underflow of groundwater within the basin. GWS recharge was 8,100 acre feet less than budgeted. That was due to some of the timing of the storms and some of the facilities, the four-bay recharge facilities not being able to capture some of that water. And that was also due to some of the plant being down for the final expansion for some period of time. So we'll start out, we'll kind of walk through the procedure we take to come up with these storage calculation. First, I just wanted to share this cross-section or this slice going through the Orange County groundwater basin, basically running along the Santa Ana River from the foothills of Anaheim up down to Huntington Beach. And really here, what I want to highlight are the three different aquifer systems. We have the shallow aquifer or layer one, the principal aquifer, layer two, and the deep aquifer, layer three. Today, we're mostly going to talk about the shallow and principal aquifer. The majority of the pumping comes out of the principal aquifer in layer two, and some out of the shallow aquifer, and a small amount out of the deep. So most of the storage change takes place in the shallow aquifer and do the pumping in the principal. I'll bring up the term pressure area and forebay area as we look at some of the other maps. So I just want to go over those. The forebay area is the area generally north of the 5 freeway, where the geology is such that it's more permeable as far as permeable layers of sands and gravels, and less layers of silts and clays that separate the aquifers and aquitards. So you have more of an unconfined or semi-confined conditions up in the forebay area. It's sometimes called the recharge area or the intake area for recharging groundwater. So because of that unconfined nature, basically any shallow groundwater or surface water can make its way down and percolate into the major aquifer systems. Whereas in the pressure area on the south side of the 5 freeway, approximately, there are a lot more silts and clays and confining units. So you have confined aquifers on the south side in the pressure area where the water levels are more pressures than actual changes in physical water level. So the basin storage calculation begins with a collection of water level data. There are several hundred water levels used for constructing our groundwater contour maps. Each of these orange dots is a measurement point from this year's data collection effort. It's a collaborative effort. We try to measure each of the water levels from each of these wells around near June 30th. So the last week, we have a 2-week window, the last week of June, first week of July, and Orange County Water District staff measures most of the measurements that OCWD staff does are from monitoring wells throughout the basin. Orange County producers provide static water levels of their production wells. So they'll actually have to shut down their production wells for at least a few hours to get allow the well to recover and measure a static water level. They provide us with that data. LA producers do the same. And WRD actually has, we have a network of monitoring wells, and we look at the water level data for about 3 miles across the county line into LA County. And that helps us, that helps us extend our contour lines across the county line to be able to determine which direction groundwater is flowing across the county line. So what we do with all those groundwater levels is we segregate them into shallow, principal, and deep data sets, and then we contour each of those data sets. So we're looking at these groundwater contour lines, which we actually contour by hand, and they're color-coded here. So each of the green lines that you see are above sea level, and the purple along the coast below sea level. They're relatively smooth parallel contours since there isn't too much pumping in the shallow aquifer, and groundwater flows generally from the forebay area to the west and to the southwest towards the coast. This is a typical year for the shallow aquifer groundwater contours. This is typical to see them kind of spaced evenly and pretty smooth parallel contours. Groundwater levels were at or above protective elevation seaward of the Talbot Barrier. Then we'll move down one level to the principal aquifer. So same color scheme here, where the green lines are all above sea level and the purple lines are below sea level. So you'll notice that there are steep hydraulic gradients, depressions, and a little bit more complex patterns here, as well as more of the purple lines, meaning more of these groundwater elevations are below sea level. So that's all due to groundwater pumping in the principal aquifer. Just like the shallow aquifer, groundwater flows from the forebay towards the coast and towards LA County to the west. We have our typical low point that we see every year around RWD Dyer Road well field and the Mesa water wells that are, in this case, about 80 feet below sea level down at that low point. So I'm going to skip over the deep aquifer just because there is less storage change in the deep aquifer. But what we do is then for each of those aquifer systems, we digitize those water level contour lines into our GIS, our geographic information system, and compare those to the lines from the previous year to determine a water level change in each of the three aquifers. So this is a color gradient or heat map showing the water level change. This is the shallow aquifer for June 2023, and the greens are the water level increase against the relative to the prior year, and the oranges are the negative water level changes. So overall, throughout the pressure area, there's a slight increase. We see lots of light greens, plus 2, plus 4, plus 5. And then the significant increases are up in the Anaheim forebay area. We've got plus 20 feet to plus 30 feet. And then down around Santiago Basin in the orange forebay area, we've got plus 20 to plus 50 feet. And then there are two other areas I'll point out. We have these orange areas down here. We have an artificial decrease all the way at the southeastern end of the basin down in Irvine. That's an artificial decrease. So water levels did not physically drop down in that area, but we just have new well data in that area. The Navy has some new monitoring wells that we were able to get the data for. Same thing up in orange, where we have an artificial decrease here, much smaller artificial decrease, and that's due to a new monitoring well that we installed. So move down one level to the principal aquifer. Same color coding here, lots of greens, light greens, and these kind of medium shades of green. Throughout the pressure area, we have a moderate increase. We've got some plus 2, plus 5, plus 13 even, moderate increase throughout. And then Anaheim Forebay area, again, we've got a plus 20 to plus 30 feet. And around Santiago Basin, we had the highest increase of any area. We had plus 30 to over plus 70 feet of increase. Also, another area that increased a lot was down around the Irvine desalter wells. 20 to 45 feet of increase relative last year. And that's just due to a little bit less pumping at those wells in the months leading up to the measurements. Again, another timing issue. There's a small decrease down here by the west end of Talbert Barrier, probably just due to the timing of the way they were running the barrier and some pumping in the area. But overall, pretty large increases, and including up here in Long Beach, we have a plus 35. So again, I'm going to skip the deep aquifer. And so what we do is for each of those three aquifer systems, we use the GIS, the geographic information system, again, to take that water level change and apply that water level change across that entire area and multiply by the porosity to come up with a storage change for each of those systems. So the shallow aquifer increased by 55,000 acre feet. The principal aquifer increased by 11,000 acre feet, and storage in the deep aquifer increased by 4,000 acre feet. So combine those together, and the total storage change was 70,000 acre feet. This is pretty typical where we see a lot more storage change in the shallow aquifer, and that's because the shallow aquifer is unconfined. So as water levels move up and down in the shallow aquifer, the pore spaces are actually wetted and dewatered, which is not the case in the principal and deep aquifers, where they're confined aquifers. So those changes in water levels are really just a change in pressure. They remain saturated. So big picture, what does that 70,000 acre feet of storage increase look like within the basin? We show here our basin operating range. So a full basin would be 0 acre feet of overdraft, and the bottom of that basin operating range would be 500,000 acre feet of overdraft. And last year, June 30th, 2022, we were at 258,000 acre feet. And this increase by 70,000 brings us up to 188,000 acre feet, which is right in our target overdraft range. And our target overdraft range is 150,000 to 200,000 acre feet. The top of that target overdraft range gives us the ability to capture some more Santa Ana River water going into a wet year. And the bottom of that range at 200 provides us the ability to go into a dry period and still have supplies in the basin. So we'll look at the accumulated overdraft since 1969. Here's June 2023, 188,000 acre feet, right in that target overdraft range. Looking back, 1969, we were at full, so 0 acre feet of overdraft. Again, in 1983, the basin was almost full again, very close. And then over time, through these dry periods, the accumulated overdraft has dropped down to near or at 400,000 acre feet, and then bounced back up. We've been able to get it back up to that target every year. And this really shows that the trend line of this line over time is not decreasing steadily, but it's pretty flat, and we're able to maintain the basin near that target overdraft range. So lastly, we'll go over the groundwater balance for water year 2022-2023. Santa Ana River Basin storm flow recharge. We had budgeted, assuming an average year of rain, about 13 inches. We had assumed 127,000 acre feet recharge from Santa Ana River. In actuality, we got 168,400, so 41,400 acre feet more than expected. Incidental recharge, we'd expected 56,000 acre feet, and the actual was 24,700. So that incidental recharge term, it's a little bit of a head scratcher. It's all of the unmeasured recharge into the basin, and that could be mountain front recharge, any rain that falls along the mountain front that percolates and makes its way into the groundwater system that's not measured. It could be underflow, water flowing into and out of LA County or the ocean as well, into and out of the Pacific Ocean. So that's much less than usual, but it's hard to pinpoint exactly. Then the GWR system, 8,100 acre feet less than anticipated. Met supplies, 5,100 acre feet less than we had budgeted. Other, which includes the Alamitos Barrier, Talbert, and OC44, 600 acre feet less than budgeted. And total basin pumping, as I mentioned earlier, that was 50,700 acre feet less than budgeted. So that's overall, the storage change was 70,000 acre feet of increase. And then, so last year at this time, we had assumed, or we had estimated, that the accumulated overdraft at the end of water year 2023 would be 235,000 acre feet. But because we had such a wet year and that storage change of 70,000 acre feet, we now sit at 188,000 acre feet of accumulated overdraft. So with that, I'll end my presentation and be happy to take any questions.
Yeah, thank you for the presentation. Director Green?
Yeah, why the difference in the incidental recharge?
So that one's really hard to pinpoint because it's all unmeasured. Some of the possibilities are really that we had such a dry period leading up to, and then this wet year, there's kind of a lag effect, maybe as some of our monitoring wells, during the measurement period, we didn't quite see those water level increases yet. That's one of them. There's some competing theories, but since it's unmeasured, it's hard to know exactly.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a question? Director?
I'll just go along the same vein. I'm used to seeing about 50,000 to 60,000 acre feet of incidental storage. And I worked next to Tim Sosh for a couple of years, and I said, what is that? He says, it's basically the difference of things that we can tell and what we can't tell. And so we could have more than that, but it's maybe we're off in our measuring, and also the porosity value that you use could be a big difference. So a number of things, but I'm not worried about it.
I have back to your very first graphic there of the basin. You had a large, just had a question. Kind of the side view one, that one. I guess that's basically to scale in terms of the relativity of location there.
No, this is probably exaggerated. The vertical scale is probably exaggerated somewhere on the order of 50 times.
Okay, I was wondering about that because I hadn't quite considered that the amber layer in the deep aquifer was as shallow as it was, apparently, where Mesa Water District taps into it, right?
Yeah,
I know. How much of a differential is that as far as depth where they're tapping in versus maybe in the center of the aquifer?
Oh, okay, right here, we have this amber colored water symbol right here. Mm-hmm. Say about 750 feet below ground surface. And then down here in the bottom of the lowest part of the deep aquifer, approximately 2,250 feet or so.
Okay. So yeah, it's pretty much can rely on that scale. Okay.
Yeah. It's to scale and that it's all vertically exaggerated.
I guess I previously wasn't aware that they were taking advantage of that shallower condition.
Okay.
Any other questions? Yes, Director.
It's vertically exaggerated. Is it more horizontally exaggerated? I mean, because we've got the...
That's true.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Horizontal exaggeration.
Could we get something that might be... I know you can't do it to scale, and I appreciate the way you did it, because I think the way we've done it, because this probably is the best type of presentation. Mm-hmm. But is there maybe some sections that can be to get an understanding? Is that difficult to do?
We could have more... I guess less exaggerated sections for specific areas of the.
Interesting. If you haven't already done that, you didn't have to do them.
Yeah, we do have our typical cross sections that that are to scale are 10-to-1 exaggeration.
Thank you.
Which make them look a little bit more realistic. The only problem is everything looks a little bit condensed, and it's hard to see that the detail between the depths.
But if you have a here's Dyer in the 55, so at least I know where I'm at.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we could do that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other questions by any attendees here? Seeing none, anyone virtually? All right. Thank you.
I would mention, gentlemen, Chair, that we did give this same presentation earlier as well.
Well, with that, again, thank you. That was very informative. And pretty much the end of this agenda, so I would direct that items number 1 through 9 be placed on the consent calendar for our September 20th board meeting. And any directors' announcements or reports? Seeing none, we are adjourned. That's it.